Thunder over Louisville, we did not go to it, okay? Now, we wanted to be a part. We wanted to see it. And even on TV, it was unbelievable. I found a barber, and they recommended me, if I ever wanted to do it, to get a hotel. And she says, you will have to book it a couple years out. But it'd be worth it seeing it live, but you'll want to stay in a hotel that you might can see it from the balcony or at least run back over there and let everybody else try to get home. But anyway, why? Because we wanted to put down roots. And we went to the Kentucky State Fair. The Peters gave us some tickets, and we went and we ate a Krispy Kreme hamburger. That was awesome. Why? Because we're putting down roots. And I went to the Louisville Slugger Museum. You didn't have to twist my arm. I love baseball, so that was there. We Googled things to do in our area. So we went to some parks, and we found that there's a list of parks or a connected to parks over there, Pope Lick and I can't remember what the other one was called, right in the middle. There's like six of them, and they're connected by like 60 miles of trails and things like that. And we walked some, not all 60, all right, but we've walked some of them. Why? We're putting down roots. And I have actually been fishing in Taylorsville Lake. All right, that's awesome. My dad came up here, and I was like, hey, bring your boat. And we went out, and I've actually caught some fish out of Taylorsville Lake. Why? Putting down roots. And we've tried different restaurants. And things like that. My wife, most definitely, she's not in here, but she's most definitely found all the malls, all the outlet malls, and all the shopping places. I mean, she knows where they are. And I've found some hunting places. Okay, so we, it was Monday evening. I was sitting in a tree stand, and she was at the outlet mall. And I was watching her on my little phone, watching her move around, going from store to store, things like that. Wow, we were doing what we enjoy. She likes to shop. I don't. I like to hunt. She don't. So we spent the evening together in separate places. But anyway, wow, we're putting down roots, we've done that. Now, the only thing that we have not done that some people might want us to do is change college football teams. Now I've been tried. I think Brother Phil bought me a shirt and was given a hat and things like that of the blue team up here, not the red team, but the blue team up here. And they're in the SEC. You'll be all right. I just don't know if I can do that, okay? But we joined the church, and it's kind of hard to be the pastor of the church and not be a member of it, but we joined the church. Wow, we're putting down roots. And then, of course, I have been bombarded with emails and letters and invitations to things like that, and I have been to some Independent Baptist Preachers Fellowships, okay? I've been to a couple of those. And I went to Brother, I think Brother Woosley's the other night at Grace Baptist over in LaGrange, and they had a revival. And so I went to one night of his revival and met him, things like that. Why? Because I'm putting down Kentucky roots, okay? And so that's what we see here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So there's some things there, but he said in verse 3, this planted. In other words, put your roots down. And of course, we're going to look at a few things here tonight that we're supposed to put our roots down. And in honor of Brother Larry being here tonight, I've got three jokes, all right, about putting down roots, okay? And so my first one is, if a human were a tree, how deep would his roots be? Nobody? 2 feet. There you go. She was all over it. The roots would be 2 feet. Ba-doom, there we go. All right. And so then here's another one. Why don't trees have social media accounts? They were too scared to log in. All right. Ba-doom. All right. And then my personal favorite, don't panic when all the leaves fall off the trees this fall. They will grow back. And I know that's a huge relief. Ba-doom. All right. So anyway, we see... You can use all three of those, brother. Go, you take them to work with you tomorrow, all right? But we see that we're supposed to put down roots, because if you put down roots, obviously you can produce some fruits. And so no root, no fruit. So we have to have it, and the Bible tells us to. And so we're going to look at a few places here and look at a few things about putting our roots down. So why? Because the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the godly. I want God to bless me individually. Kind of selfish that way. I want God to bless me. And you can say that. And God doesn't say that that's selfish. That's just a good desire. I want God to bless me. I want God to bless my family. And then I want God to bless this church. And so we're going to look at Psalm 1, 1 through 6 here, and we're going to see that there's ways to get God's blessing on us. And we have a list of don'ts and a list of do's, and then a list of things that will happen. So the first thing here, we're going to look at the don'ts. In verse 1, it says, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. If we want to be blessed of God, we got to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. So, in other words, God says, hey, you've got a choice. You can listen to God, or you can listen to the devil. The devil would be that ungodly. Then you can listen to, let's say, a saved person. Say, hey, you ought to do this. And you can listen to an unsaved person. Hey, let's do this. That would be listening to godly versus ungodly. So it says here, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. So if the devil says do it, don't. If some unsaved person says do it, don't. If some wackadoo on social media says do it, don't. If he's unsaved, I'm not going to listen to his counsel. And if he's saved but he's backslidden, I'm probably not going to listen to his counsel. Why? Because I want God to bless me. And it says, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. And then obviously, Hollywood or TV, anything that they would promote, that would be counsel of the ungodly. I don't know very many saved people that are on TV or in Hollywood or things like that. Social media, the same way. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. And so a lot of people, they do walk in the counsel of that ungodly stuff, and they don't even realize it. They just say, this is the way life is, or this is what everybody's doing. And so they haven't balanced it with what God says versus what it's just being publicized. So what should I not do? Walk in the counsel of ungodly. Second thing, I don't stand in the way of sinners. So again, we see people, you can't just be a hermit, or you can't just go live in your closet. You have to come out and move around the world. And so we have to walk, but we don't have to walk in the counsel of ungodly. But then it says stand in the way of sinners. In other words, we don't have to stop and stand there. In other words, there's been people that are in prison today because they were, just because they drove the getaway car, or they were just there. Guilty by proximity. So we don't need to go places that the Bible says we shouldn't or God wouldn't want us to be. Stand not in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scornful. If we stand there long enough, we're going to get tired and we're going to sit down and participate. But it says stand or sit not in the seat of the scornful. The Bible talks about a scorner, how they ought to be cast out. So again, don't listen to them, cast them out, and don't stand around with sinners. So that's the don'ts if I want God to bless me, my family, and our church. Then here's some do's. Verse 2 says, all those don'ts in verse 1 if you want to be blessed. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And of course, back then, they had the law, they had the portions of scriptures, that's what they called it. And now we have the collective, we have the whole Bible. So we ought to say, but his delight is in the Bible, or in the law of the Lord. And he doth meditate in it day and night. And so what should I do if I want God to bless me is read the Bible, meditate in it day and night. And then what will happen if we do that? We say, okay, I'm not going to do these things. Listen to the counsel of ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scornful. I am going to delight in the Bible and read it and meditate in it day and night. And then what's going to happen? In verse 3, it says, he shall be like a tree planted. And so if I'm supposed to put roots down, that's exactly what happens when you plant a tree. You put the roots down in the ground. And of course, we're going to look at a lot of things about roots here in just a minute. But anyway, we see here, if I don't do those things, and I do these things, verse 1 and verse 2, then I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water. We know, obviously, water helps roots grow. And then what will it cause that to happen? It'll bring forth fruit. In his season, and his leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. There's a promise right there in the Bible that if I'll not and do, I'll be like a tree, and anything that I do will prosper. And again, I've had people ask me this, especially people I grew up with or friends of mine, why? It seems like everything you do is blessed, or they don't say the word blessed. Everything you do turns to gold, or they might say it like that. And I'll just say, it's not me. It's God. It's the blessings of God. The only thing I deserve is to burn in hell, but I try to not do these things. I try to do these things, and God blesses that. And whatsoever he does, shall prosper. So it goes on. So number one, I'll be like a tree, not a weed. I'll be like a tree, standing, unmovable, bringing forth fruit, and whatever I do shall prosper. And so in verse 6 we see it says that for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. So not only will I be like a tree and I'll bring forth fruit and I'll not wither and whatever I do will prosper, I will be relevant I'll be like I exist in God's eyes. That's what it says. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. I know he's not going to listen to them. I know she's going to do that. I just know it. I know it. And that's where if God knows how you're going to react and God knows what you're going to do, he's going to bless you. But then we see the opposite of that in verse 4. It says here, the ungodly are not so. It's like they don't exist in God's mind. They're not doing what he created them to do. So therefore, he's not going to bless them. He's not going to give favor. He's not going to smile on them. So there's the contrast there. If I'll be like a tree and I'll not do those things and do those things, God will know that I exist. And if I don't, it's like I don't exist. So we see that Spurgeon said about this. I looked up a little bit when I was reading this about Spurgeon. Spurgeon, he uses words about this long a lot of times. You have to have a thesaurus and a dictionary to read his stuff. But anyway, he kind of put in a nutshell here, blessed. In other words, it's a continual thing. It wasn't a blessing, but it's blessed. He said, so if you keep not listening to the counsel of the ungodly, if you just continue to do that, and if you keep not standing in the way of sinners, and you keep not sitting with the single scornful, and you keep reading the Bible, and you keep meditating in it day and night, it's like he's going to just keep blessing you. It's just over and over and over. It doesn't stop. And sometimes we push for something and we get it one time and that's it. No, the Bible says blessed, plural. God's going to keep blessing me. So he said, if you'll do these things, God, you'll be blessed by God continually. You'll be blessed in Christ continually. All the things, all your circumstances will be blessed. Whatsoever you do shall prosper, it says right there. And it won't be through time, but it'll be through eternity. So there won't be a limit on this. So we'll be blessed down here, and then we get to heaven, and we'll be blessed through all eternity. Because of what we've done here, we'll reap us rewards in heaven. And then it says here that blessed kind of indicates to the highest degree. You know, blessed means like you won, or you were first place, you're to the highest tree. You'll be a blessed tree. A tree over here that doesn't get much sun and doesn't get much water and things like that, it's going to be like scraggly. It's not going to be blessed. But if that person lives that way, we see here that God's going to bless. So we're looking at putting roots down. We'll get there in just a second, but we're going to look at verse 3 again, that word planted. Planted. So just like all the way through the Bible, if God's talking to a fisherman, he uses fishing illustrations. If God's talking to a farmer, he uses farming illustrations. If he's talking to whatever and things like that, so he used different ways, illustrations and so forth to teach. But so when God's talking about being planted, he knows what he's talking about. It's kind of like me. I have plowed a little bit with a horse and thing just because I wanted to. Not a lot. I have plowed a little bit with a tractor and some plows. Not a lot. I don't know that I've ever planted anything. I have had to weed stuff. Things like that. But I haven't been around a lot. But there's people like Brother Steve. He plants a lot of stuff. All right. So he knows what he's talking about. I just like to eat it. All right. I went and picked some blackberries over at his house. Why? Because I like to eat them. I've picked corn before. Why? Because I like to eat them. But God, when he says, hey, you'll be like a tree planted, he knows what he's talking about. He's not just grabbing something out of there. Genesis 2:8 says this, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. So it's not like he's saying that, I heard about somebody's planted, or they told me a story about being planted. No. It says right here that he planted a garden in Eden. So he knows what he's talking about. In other words, he created the soil. He created the seed. He created the sun. And he created the water. All those things make being planted success. So again, he has all aspects of it. So he's not just spitting in the wind. He's just not running off at the mouth. He knows what he's talking about. So we'll look here. The soil is important. I found a couple of verses about the soil in the Bible. Ezekiel 17:8. Listen to what it says. It was planted in good soil. So when God's talking about it, obviously Ezekiel was preaching about it. But he was like, if you're going to plant something, you need to plant it in good soil. And those of you that have planted, I know I've heard. I was a little bit of an entrepreneur when I was a teenager. I had this job cleaning out horse stables and cleaning out dog pens. Smelly job, all right? But I got this idea that I was like, okay, there's lots of dog food bags left over from feeding all 100 dogs. It was a big kennel, and they boarded dogs there. And I was like, I got to give the horses some hay, and so here's some string that's on the hay bale, and I can't leave it out there because the horse will eat it, and it'll get hung in his stomach, and he'll die. So I got to get rid of that string. This was all the things they told me to do. And then you got to clean out those stables. Get all the shavings and all the leftovers from the horses out of there, put new fresh shavings in there. So I was like, okay. I scooped the shavings and the horse poop, put it in the dog food bags, twist tied, used that hay bale string, tied it up there, and I sold horse poop for $5 a bag. All right. And I sold it all summer long, and I made $350 on horse poop. Okay, why? Because ladies that lived in the area, they had rose gardens and they had this, and they wanted fresh. They didn't want to go to Home Depot, all right, or Lowe's. They wanted it right from the horse's backside, okay? So that's where they wanted it. This would be great for my, and so I did it. And why? Because they wanted good soil. So the Bible says here, it was planted in good soil by great waters. If you're going to plant something, you better think of water. That might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, and that it might be a goodly vine. So again, if we want a good hardy vine that's going to produce fruit and it's not going to wither away, it's got to be in good soil. So if we're going to plant something, we need to plant it in good soil. And we'll get to what the soil is in us in just a minute. Ezekiel 19:13, the opposite of good soil. It says, and now she is planted in the wilderness, like a desert, in a dry and thirsty ground. So you read those two passages of Scripture, you're going to see that the good soil produced good fruit, and it was a healthy vine. And if you read where this one was planted out in the wilderness in a dry and thirsty ground, it didn't make it. Because so the soil is important. If you read in Mark 4, 3 through 9, this is talking about that seed. And it says some fell on stony ground, not a good place to plant. Some fell on ground that had lots of thorns, not a good place to plant because the thorns choked them out. But then it says some fell on good ground, and then there was success. So again, God knows what He's talking about when He said, hey, plant some roots. You got to have good soil. The soil is basically our heart. The soil is our heart. Because the Bible says we can harden our heart. In other words, the seed won't go in. It won't grow. We can have a tender heart. We can have where we accept. So not only is the soil important, number two, the seed is important. Luke 8:11 says this. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. So not only is the soil, our heart, important, the seed is important. And that's the Word of God. If we want to be like a tree, we want to plant roots, we got to look at the soil. We got to look at the seed. Now, the seed will produce salvation. The seed will produce a surrendered heart. And the seed will produce service. So the right kind of seed has to be there. So, number one, the soil is important. Number two, the seed's important. Number three, the sun. We'll talk about the S-O-N, not the S-U-N. All right, the S-O-N is important. 1 John 5:12 says this, he that hath the Son, S-O-N, hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So if we're going to have something that's going to produce fruit, it's got to be alive. It can't be dead. So the seed's important. The sun's important. The soil's important. Number four, the water's important. Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify with the cleansing it, with the washing of the water by the word. So we saw that in Psalm 1:3, it says that he'd be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water. Those roots that get water, they're going to be strong. They're going to produce fruit. They're going to grow deeper. So that brings us to Romans 1, the putting down of the roots. All right, the deeper the root, the better the tree. And, you know, again, they do this with buildings. There's not a lot of tall buildings out here in Spencer County, but there's a few tall ones there in Louisville. There's a few over in Lexington, things like that. You go to some maybe bigger cities in the nation, and you'll see really, really tall buildings. But the reason they can do that is because they went deep with the foundation. They didn't do just like a house slab and then go up 112 stories. That would fall over. You got to put it deep. And that's what it's saying in verse 8. If you're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, you got to put those roots down deep. I'm going to read you two verses about that. Putting down roots. Putting down roots. Here's the first one. 2 Kings 19:30. 2 Kings 19:30 says, "The remnant, small group of people, left over, that is escaped from the house of Judah." So these were people of God that has escaped from captivity. They were a small remnant. And it says here, "shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward." So the principle here in the Bible is if you want to produce fruit, you want to grow for God, and you want to do something that's God's going to bless you for, you got to put roots down. And again, if you just go shallow, it's going to dry out. It's not going to withstand the storm. It's got to go downward so we can produce fruit upward. New Testament verse is this, Colossians 2:7. "Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught abundantly and with thanksgiving." So we've got to put roots down in our Christian life so that we can produce fruit upward. So we got to make sure it's the right kind of seed that we're sowing. Very important. You don't just go in there and just grab some seed at Bill's Feed Store or something seed and feed and expect you to throw it out there. No, you have to on purpose. If you want corn, you got to buy some corn. If you want some watermelon, you got to buy some watermelon. The seed is important, but it's got to take root downward. Galatians 6:7 says this, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap." So, and it goes on to say, if you plant corruption, you're going to reap corruption. If you plant righteousness, you're going to reap righteousness. It just makes sense. If I plant corn, I'm not going to get peaches. If I plant blackberries, I'm not going to get watermelon. Can you imagine a farmer be shaking his head, scratching? They're like, "What in the world? I planted that here," and so forth. So it's important. The seed is important. Number two, Proverbs 12:3 says this: "A man shall not be established by wickedness." So in other words, you can't just go out and live wickedly and expect God to bless you. "A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of righteousness shall not be moved." So if I want God to bless me, I've got to have roots of righteousness. Not just go through life, hopping from here to there. No, put the seed down. So underneath that we have, if you plant righteousness, righteous seeds, you're going to get righteous seeds, number one, of salvation. So in other words, if I plant the Word of God, which is a seed, I can be saved and I can be secure in it, know it. But if I plant unrighteousness, seeds of salvation, so in other words, there's people out there say, "Hey, if you want to get to heaven, you got to plant this seed. This seed is called works. Hey, if you want to get to heaven, you got to plant this seed. This seed's called being baptized to get to heaven. Hey, if you want to get to heaven, you've got to be a church member. So plant this seed." No, but if I use the Word of God saying, "He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life." It's that simple. Plant that seed and I can be saved and secure. But if I have a wrong seed of salvation planted, it's going to produce a twofold child of hell, the Bible says. Listen to this verse. Matthew 23:15. Whoa. In other words, Matthew's saying, hey, pay attention here. Don't just grab a bunch of different seeds. You've got to pay attention because whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Whoa, unto the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land. You're going everywhere, running off at the mouth. And what are they doing? To make one proselyte. You get one person believing like you've taught them. And now what you've done is, and it goes on to say, when he is made, you have made him a twofold more the child of hell than yourself. So if we throw out bad seed, hey, you can get to heaven by works. Or hey, you can get to heaven by getting baptized. Or hey, you can get to heaven by being a church member. Or you can, by this or by that. We're throwing out bad seeds. And somebody says, they grab that and say, hey, this guy said all I had to do was get baptized and I can go to heaven. So now he's trusting in that. And so that when somebody like me or somebody like you tries to tell him the truth, they go, oh, no, I'm going to heaven because I got baptized. You're like, oh, wrong seed. Got planted. They made him a hypocrite. And not only did they make him a hypocrite, they made him a twofold child of hell, the Bible says. So now, what you read in context there, it's going to be twice as hard to get that person saved now. So Matthew's saying, whoa, don't throw out that false seed. Because now I got to go over there and say, look, let me show you what the Bible says. Yes, you're supposed to be baptized, but it's because you're saved, not to get saved. Yes, you're supposed to work and do works for God because you're saved, not to get saved. So now I have to convince him what he's believing in was wrong and then get him to accept the truth. Twofold child of hell. So we see now it's harder to get the true seed in there because he thinks he's okay. So we got to convince him that trusting Mary to get him to heaven? Nope, you got to forget that. Trust Jesus. Getting baptized to get to heaven? Nope, you got to forget that and get Jesus. Works to get? No, you got to forget that. Get Jesus. Keeping the law, giving money, praying, going to somebody to get my sins absolved and things like that. Oh, yeah, that'll get me to heaven. No. That's the wrong seed. You just need Jesus. So if you're going to put down roots, it's important where you put them. And secondly, if we plant the seed of righteousness of the Scripture, so just like it's bad to throw out bad seed about salvation, it's bad to throw out bad seed about the Scripture. Because just like they say, okay, my works will get me to heaven, so I'm going to heaven. No, you're not. Well, the Bible says, but if it's not God's Word, it's taught us something wrong. Bad seed. The seed is the Word of God, the Bible says. So it's going to produce righteous living if we throw out the right kind of Scripture. But if we throw out the wrong kind of Scripture, it's not going to produce righteous living. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, where it was able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. So that kid, like we have a whole bunch of them out there right now getting taught by Miss Sharon, they're hearing the Word of God. They're hearing the King James Bible. They're hearing that this is what God says. And that from a child, they'll know the Holy Scriptures. So it'll be easy for them to get saved in the future. All right. Then Deuteronomy 12:32 says this, what thing soever I command you, observe it and do it, and don't add thereunto nor diminish from it. All right. And I know there's farmers out there, they got their concoction. If you'll get this and add a little bit of this in it, and add a little bit of this in it, add a little bit of this in it, and that's okay for them. But the Bible says don't do that with this seed. Don't grab a little bit of NIV and a little ASV and a little bit of, the Catholic Bible and a little bit of this and shake it and woof. No, we got to put out the truth. That's what's going to produce if we're going to put down roots. So if I plant unrighteousness, who knows what I'm going to get? So I got to plant the right seed in salvation. I've got to plant the right seed of the Scripture. And here's another one. I got to plant the right seed or righteous seed of service. Mark 9:41. For whosoever shall give a cup of water to drink, or give you a cup of water to drink in my name, and ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And so there's a lot of people doing, I guess, some type of service because it makes them feel good. The Bible says that is their reward. So we've got to do it the way God says do it, in his name. So we ought to vacuum the floor. In Jesus' name. We ought to mow the grass. In Jesus' name. We ought to pass out a tract. In Jesus' name. Not to make us feel good. So that seed has to be planted. It's got to be a righteous seed. I'm doing this for you. So number one, we've got to plant seeds downward. Number two, not only is deep seeds or deep roots important, we ought to plant the roots deep. Number two, we ought to protect the roots. Protect the roots. Again, there's a lot of you that's probably a lot more knowledgeable about this than I am as far as putting roots. But I do know this. Living in Florida, oak trees, they have a huge root system, but they don't go deep. They go this way. I've seen sidewalks all broke up. I've seen houses jacked up. I've seen basketball courts just destroyed because of oak, because they go this way. They don't go deep. So when hurricanes come, and they have a few of those in Florida every once in a while, those oak trees will go over easy. Why? Because they're not rooted down. The roots aren't protected. Now, a pine tree, they have what they call a taproot. And that thing just, it's going towards China as fast as it can go. And that thing is going deep, deep. So, same thing here. A lot of times you don't see the roots. Okay? Those roots that you do see, it causes damage. Breaking up the sidewalk, lifting up the foundation. Why? Because those roots are saying, hey, look at me, look how big I am, look how strong I am, look at me, look at me, look at me. And it causes damage. But if the root goes this way and you don't see the root, that's your strong Christian. That's the person. I've always said this about Christians. I've always said this about preachers. It's what you don't see that makes that person a good Christian. It's what you don't see that makes that person a good preacher. You know, they're not putting on social media. The Bible says enter into your prayer closet privately and God will reward you openly. All right, so it's what you don't see. So we got to protect those roots by reading and obeying the Scriptures, by going into that prayer closet. So we need them. Depth is needed. Depth is needed. I'll read this verse to you. Matthew 13:5. Some fell, talking about the seed, some fell on stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up. And I've seen weeds like this. You know, you'll see a weed growing out of asphalt, or you'll see a weed growing. You're like, what in the world? They spring up. They're not going to become a tree, and they're definitely not going to produce fruit. But it says here, some fell on stony places, which they had not much earth, and forthwith sprang up, because they had no deepness of the earth. So a lot of new age and new ways of thinking and new ways, they just pop up. This is the newest thing. I mean, even in religion, this is the newest way to build a church, or this is the newest way to go soul winning, or this is the newest way, and this is the new, and they just pop up. They're not going to last. They're not truth. They're not rooted down there. They're just popping up. So study. Know what you believe. Put your roots deep down. Couple of verses, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, not in anybody else. But you put them roots deep. And I want to study. I want to know what my Bible says. I want to know what a Christian is supposed to do. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, so I can rightly divide the word of truth. Verse 1 Timothy 3:6. Paul's talking to Timothy here. Not a novice. Not somebody that just popped up. Something just sprang up. The newest thing. No, not a novice, lest be lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. So you got to have deep roots, and the depth is needed. Not only is the depth needed, water is needed. Jeremiah 17:8. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. Those roots are looking for that water. They're going. Shall not see when the heat cometh. That tree won't be bothered if those roots are down there by that water. And it says here, but let her leaf shall be green, not going to wither up dry, and shall not be careful of the year of drought. Doesn't scare her. Neither shall she cease from yielding fruit. That tree that's planted and got those roots deep and down there in the water, heat don't bother them. Leaves aren't going to wither. They're going to produce fruit. So water is important. How do we water our roots? By Bible study, by church attendance, by prayer, by the Holy Spirit. All those things will help water our root system. Here's another one, nourishment. There's a Bible verse where it talks about, hey, get rid of that tree. Not producing fruit, cut it down, throw it in the fire. And the husbandman said, wait a minute. You know, I like this little tree. And he says, you know, I'm paraphrasing, let me dig around a little bit. Loosen up the soil. Let me dung it, is what the Bible says. Let me put some fertilizer on it, and let's see. Let's give it a chance. And so nourishment is important, and we need nourishment. 1 Timothy 4:6 says this, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of the things that thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith. So we need that, and good doctrine, whereunto we attain. So not only is the depth important and the water's important, the nourishment's important. Here's another good one. Love is important. That guy wanted to take care of that tree. Why? Because he loved him. It's kind of like you see in Moses' day. Moses would come in, God, I'm tired of them. And God would say, okay, I'm going to just destroy them all. Moses, whoa, wait a minute, let's time out. let's back off a little bit. And then God would come to Moses. Moses, I'm going to just clear the ground with him. And Moses would talk God off the ledge. And why? Because of love. And so, of course, if we're wanting to produce fruit, we're going to have some love. There are some people that love gardening. I don't know if I could say that. Some people have the green thumb. I know I can't say that. But they love it. It's important. Ephesians 3:17 says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith and being rooted and grounded in love. So if you're going to put down roots deep, you're going to have to take care of those roots. Love has to be a part of it. So we ought to act like Jesus. We ought to behave like Jesus. We ought to think like Jesus. We ought to speak like Jesus. We ought to look like Jesus. We ought to have that love. So let's let people see Jesus in us. That's the best way to show love. And we got to keep the weeds out. Don't let the weeds grow up. Get rid of it. Take out the trash, whatever you want to call it. But weed. So you got to protect the roots. Number one was putting down roots. Number two was protecting the roots. And number three, and we'll be finished, produce from the roots. Produce from the roots because we are commanded to. Proverbs 12:12 says, the wicked desireth and not the net of an evil man, but the root of righteousness yields fruit. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy and of the Lord, looking pleasing, be fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. So we're supposed to do this. We're supposed to produce fruit. Why? Number one, because God told us to. Number two, because we're subject to punishment. I've already alluded to it. Matthew 3:10 says this, and now also an axe is laid unto the root of the tree, therefore, and every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. We've got to do what God wants us to do because we are God's plan of continuation. There's a tree that grows up out there. It drops acorns. Those acorns go in the ground, die out, boop, and there comes more oak tree. There's pine cones. If the squirrels don't eat them all, they come down, and more pine trees come up. It's called continuation. We're supposed to put roots down, protect the roots. Why? So we can produce fruit. We're supposed to produce other Christians. 2 Timothy 2:2, and these things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, talking about that root, commit thou to faithful men so that they will be able to teach others also. So put down roots, protect the roots, and produce from the roots. And in conclusion, I'll give you two verses. Mark 4:17, and have no root in themselves. Okay, so this is talking about a person that won't put them down, won't protect them, and won't produce. They have no root in themselves, so endure but for a time. In other words, they can make it through a few storms, but they're going to get blown over. Afterward, after that storm comes, it says here, and afflictions and persecutions. So we're going to face them. Arise from the world's sake. Immediately they are offended. So we see here the person that has no root is easily offended. You see the Christian, they're growing, and I mean, they get mad at the simplest thing. They didn't speak to me. Okay. You don't get a bit offended about that? No root. If you're rooted, they didn't speak to me. Oh, well, all I deserve is hell. I'm just thankful to be saved. I'm thankful to be serving God. Glory to God. That's what somebody with root. Somebody that doesn't have root, they get offended at the easiest thing. They didn't ask me to do that. They didn't ask me. What in the world? And they get all offended. But somebody that's rooted in the Word of God and rooted, protecting their roots and growing in the Scripture, they don't get offended easily. It's kind of like this. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If I'm rooted in that book, I can't be offended. Lester Roloff used to say this, you can't offend a corpse. You can go up to the casket and, your mama's so ugly, and you can say whatever you wanted to say. They're not going to get offended. Why? They're dead. And what are we supposed to do? Die to self. Get rooted. The devil's going to make it easy for us to get offended. And get out and quit. Tree blown over, no root. Offended. Here's another one. Luke 8:13. They on the rock They which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Oh man, the Bible's awesome. That's great. I'm glad I learned that. And these have no root. In other words, they like to hear the little teaching and the little tickling of the ear, the Bible says. And oh, that's awesome. Christianity is great. This is wonderful. But they're not getting rooted. They're just getting the little tickling of the ear and the teaching. And then what does it say? Which for a while believe. They're there for a little while. They come faithful for a little while. But then it says, and in the temptation, they fall away. So we talked about the other night about resisting the devil. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. A lot of people forget to resist. They're submitted. They come. They do. They read. They pray. Okay, I'm doing a good Christian. But they don't resist. Bam, the devil gets them. Same thing here. We got to get rooted and grounded in the Word of God and in our Christian life so nothing offends us. And then that temptation, it's going to be easy to succumb to it if we're not rooted. Put your roots down. Protect your roots and produce from the roots. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, I just ask you to help us to learn from the Scripture. And Lord, help us to get rooted in our relationship with you. Rooted in the Word of God. Rooted in our church. Rooted in our community to reach the people of our community. Lord, help us to realize it's up to us. We got to be that husbandman. In Jesus' name, amen.